Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer is sponsored by Love Radio Network. This is Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer. If it's a car, motorcycle, boat, or anything else with an engine in San Diego, it's on Racer Radio. Now, here's your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome. This is Racer Radio. Michelle took the day off to go spend time with family, so it's just you and I. This segment is brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where nobody, absolutely nobody, takes better care of your car, nor do they sell you a better car. Paul Dyke and the team down there will do anything and everything they can to make sure you're happy in your vehicle service. They'll work on any and all vehicles, believe it or not. It's called Express Lane. It was a Ford project that was offered to all the San Diego dealers, and El Cajon Ford was the only one that seen value in it. So, hey, you got a Ford, Chevy, or Toyota, they can work on that as well as they can your Ford product. Go to ElCajonFord.com, ElCajonFord.com, where nobody, absolutely nobody, treats you better. Hey, we got Norm DeWitt on the line. I'm surprised, and I'm happy, more happy than surprised, that you were able to call in. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing real good. I got a weekend here at last, which doesn't happen very often.
That's why I was surprised, but there's not really a whole lot of racing going on right now other than like some small local tracks. You know, NASCAR takes this weekend off for family, and I think F1 run this weekend?
Boy, did they ever.
Well, talk to me, brother. What's going on?
Well, it was one of those races where, you know, there was a five-second penalty that that Lewis Hamilton had incurred during the race, and it ended up being the difference between Vettel at Scuderia Ferrari and the Mercedes. So Lewis Hamilton finished second. It's 2 out of 3 wins so far this year for Ferrari in Formula One. We got us a wide open championship between the two best manufacturers in the game.
Now, what was the penalty that Hamilton garnered?
I think he was messing with one of the Red Bull cars. But it was, you know, because I was flipping back and forth between that and the 6 hours of Silverstone, which was the season opener for the World Endurance Championship, as in the cars that race at the 24 Hours of Le Mans. And that was every bit as good of a race as well. It came down to a battle for the lead car to car between the leading Porsche and the closing Toyota. And Buemi and the Toyota took the lead with 12 minutes to go. And then there was a lead change in the GT AM class with 3 minutes to go. I mean, this is 6 hour races that come down to where if you miss the last 15 minutes, you don't have a clue. That's hard to beat. So between that and Formula One, they both put on a great show today, and it speaks well for this season.
Yeah, is it me or is it just, you know, I don't know if the coverage is any better, but it just seems the quality of racing has really amped up. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
Well, in Formula One, we're certainly not just wondering which of the two Mercedes is going to disappear over the horizon. And but the World Endurance Championship has been nothing short of stellar for the last few years. You know, Audi left at the end of last season, probably in no small helped out the door, no doubt, by Volkswagen's transgressions with the Dieselgate situation. And Audi running diesels, that was probably, they probably just want to pretend that they've never heard the word diesel at the moment. And as a manufacturer, so Audi's gone. And it's Porsche versus Toyota, and it is anybody's ball game. And it's going to be that way all year long.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Now, I understand you were at the air races.
I was there yesterday. I wanted to shoot it with, you know, do some photography there. Mm-hmm. So that's always fun. I mean, it's not pack racing like you get at, say, the Reno Air Races, but it's interesting stuff.
And they don't even advertise, hardly do they advertise or even come into town.
Yeah, and here's a tip for your listeners. If you go to the Coronado side, mm-hmm. you can walk right up to the water, no fees, no charges. You can walk out on their pier, get as close as you can anywhere else that you would pay for a lot of money on the San Diego Bay side. So,
no kidding.
Tip for your listeners. Plus, then the sun is at your back. So if you want to bring your camera, You're on the illuminated side of the plains as opposed to the underbelly with the sun shooting into the sun.
Very good.
It's a win.
And that's coming from a professional automotive motorsport photographer, folks. So take that. Take heed. Take heed.
Yeah, it's the place to shoot from.
Yeah.
Sure.
So we're not that deep into the season, but it sure seems like we're about five races to the end of the season with what type of racing we're seeing.
Well, it's going to be a wild year, that's for sure. I don't follow NASCAR much, so I can't speak to that too much. Mm-hmm. But I was at the Long Beach Grand Prix last week, and that was, you know, it was fitting that Hinchcliffe won, being a Canadian, and I think it was the... If it wasn't the day, it was the weekend of the 100th anniversary of Vimy Ridge, which was this big battle in World War One, that where Canada pretty much became a player on the world stage.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was a big, I mean, the president of Canada was there and everything else, and you know, over in northern France. And so it was nothing but fitting that a Canadian would win the big race in the country that day, or in the world that day.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, I was lucky enough to interview him last week, and of course, for whatever reason, I went to play it back to send it to KCBQ today, and there was nothing there. So I'm going to have to give him another call and get him back in. Super, super nice guy. I don't know how many times you've had a chance to interview him, but he's just really down to earth. Totally a team player, and he said he loved it, but it was tough.
Hinch is a wonderful guy. I mean, he's the mayor of Hinchtown, and I remember when he first came out with the GoDaddy ride, where
right.
Ed had that for years, and he came out on the stage to be introduced wearing a Danica Patrick wig.
I remember that. He is such a hoot. Well, I looked into my files, and gosh, I hadn't interviewed him since 2013. It's been that long.
Last year, you know, he was hurt horribly.
Terribly.
In 2015, and nearly, he could have died.
Mm-hmm.
And his comeback last year to take the pole at Indianapolis,
mm-hmm.
Sam Schmidt Racing, and Sam Schmidt's another one of these really good guys in racing. And
gives me goosebumps.
It was a wonderful day, and it was also the first pole for Joseph Newgarden, or excuse me, first podium for Joseph Newgarden driving
mm-hmm.
for Penske.
Mm-hmm.
He has never been on the podium for Penske, but it's only been a couple races, and so he's somebody to watch in the future. Another very personable guy that mm-hmm. has all the gifts in the world.
And then, of course, you have the Powers and the Helio Castroneves and all the, you know, the ones that have been hanging in there. But, boy, I tell you, and they're going to Barber Motorsport Park next?
Next week. That's right. And don't ever forget Sebastian Bourdais and Scott Dixon.
Oh, of course not. You can't do that. No. And what about Hunter Ray? I mean, we can actually do the whole list. I mean, when you really go right down to Kanaan and all of the rest of them, I mean, they really make for a personable group of drivers that you can associate with, I think.
And then, just to throw the cat in amongst the pigeons, not saying that those guys are a bunch of pigeons by any means, but the announcement that came earlier this week that Fernando Alonso is going to forsake running the Monaco Grand Prix and the McLaren to drive an Andretti Motorsport car sponsored by all of the Formula One McLaren sponsors in the Indianapolis 500.
Wow.
I mean, this
were you surprised?
I was stunned because it has been an insanely long time since people would actually miss a Grand Prix drive in the Indianapolis 500. Maybe, you know, when Mario Andretti was driving Formula One, it would happen on occasion, but it is not something that happens very often. And if anything tells you that IndyCar racing is back with a capital B,
that's it.
It's Fernando Alonso wanting to come and race at Indianapolis in the, you know, I mean, Andretti Motorsport finished 1-2 last year.
Yeah.
So, you know.
But it's not, and people need to understand, it's not a money thing with Alonso. This has nothing to do with money, I guarantee you. It has everything to do with getting a ride at Indy.
Well, just to be candid, the McLaren Honda in Formula One has got to be testing his mettle at this point, because the car, the problem has been the engine. It's been the problem has been the engine for over 2 years now. And again, the thing expired today with a couple of laps to go.
Did it?
And he was out of the points even then. He was down there battling with a Sauber or something. And it's just really sad to see what McLaren has come to. And it's not the car. By everyone's estimation, the problem is not the car. It's purely the power plant. So, you know, I think they're just trying to hang on to Fernando Alonso. He knows he's always wanted to race at Indianapolis, which I wasn't aware of. I knew he wanted to race at Le Mans, but I wasn't aware of his desire to race at Indy. And this is a way maybe that McLaren Honda can hang on to him, because otherwise he'll be out the door.
Right. Hey, have you got another 15 I can steal from you?
Sure.
You're the man. All right, this is Racer Radio. We'll be back in a moment. This is KCBQ AM 1170. We are the answer.
AM 1170, the answer.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome back to Racer Radio right here on KCBQ AM 1170. This segment is brought to you by Barona Circle Track. Go to BaronaSpeedway.com, BaronaSpeedway.com. Now, I moved Dirt Dude to 345, so for all you Barona fans, just hang in there. We'll roll him in right after the Parrish Auto Speedway Report. Right now, we're talking to Norm DeWitt. Hey, Norm, how are you today?
Hello.
So open wheels getting pretty froggy. We're starting to see some young drivers come up. We're starting to see and I think what I like about the Indy class is the different variations of front air dams and wings and things. So I guess they're given some sort of a leeway to kind of play with it within the boundaries, not anything like NASCAR.
There's two aero kits. There's one that's developed by Honda for their cars and one that's developed for the Chevrolet engine cars.
Okay.
And they're different. What's kind of funny is that when you look at the 2017 version of the aero kits, the Chevy kit in 2017 looks vaguely reminiscent of the Honda kit from 2016 and vice versa. So, you know, apparently they were looking over their shoulders at each other and they both kind of crossed over towards each other's direction of thinking. But the bottom line is it's anybody's game. And, I mean, admittedly, it's a spec chassis. Everybody's running the same Dallara DW12. But, it all comes down to nuances and setup and everybody trying different setups and the teams working with multiple drivers to try to find the killer setup for their particular car. And I was talking to Rick Mears about this the other day, and the challenge is huge, and it really requires a team approach. We're done with the days where it would be Bobby Unser with Laurie and Breon off in the corner throwing setups at the car and not telling anybody what they were doing. You know, I mean, those are over. Now it's everybody's got the telemetry. Everybody's looking at what everybody's doing. And the idea is to raise the whole team's level. And so you get these mega teams like Ganassi and Penske and Andretti. And the amazing thing is that a small team like Sam Schmidt, his team can still compete and win.
Yep.
And Dale Coyne did the same in St. Pete. Yep. So, you know, even though with all the advantages of massive funding and the massive amount of data acquisition, somehow the little teams are still right there.
I think it's because this is the one time where the driver actually stands out. And it's not just the driver being able to drive it. It's the driver being able to drive it, yes. But the driver being able to communicate with the engineers to tell him or tell them what he or she's looking for to get the maximum out of the car. because unless you can communicate with your team and your engineers, you could have the fastest car on the planet, but if you can't drive it, it's worthless.
Well, no doubt that's still huge, but it's not as huge as it perhaps used to be.
True.
Back in the days before data acquisition, now you can see in the telemetry, and you can see, you know, the pluses and minuses in any particular corner entry or midpoint or exit compared to somebody else's setup. And so, you know, but still, I was amazed at how much time Sebastian Bourdais was spending with Craig Hampson at Long Beach. The two of them were just walking everywhere together. It was like the Newman Haas days all over again.
Wow.
He's got a first and a second in the two IndyCar races this year so far. So Bourdais and Coyne Racing are definitely contenders this year.
Well, it's got to make the Penske's and the Ganassi's just nervous as heck to see these. Not that they didn't know that they didn't have the ability to do it. I mean, those are two strong, small teams.
Well, Ganassi is, you know, they're struggling at the moment. See where this goes. But
well, Andretti didn't. I mean, what? Every one of Andretti's cars went out?
Yeah, well, the Ryan Hunter Ray was also closing on Hinchcliffe near the end of the race when, for some sort of electrical malady, the thing just rolled to a stop with about, I don't know, five or six laps to go. But the bottom line is, you know, for all they always say it's an electrical failure. Well, it could very well be the rod went through the black box, you know.
Well, according to Ray, the car went dead on him, and then about 10, 15 minutes later, fired right back up.
Oh, really?
Okay. So it's a temperature heat sensing situation. It's overheating something on the car, then that thing is telling the car shut down because of a failure of some form. That's what I think where it's going. So they're chasing a gremlin. And how much electronics are on these cars today? Maybe just a mile or two a wire, if that.
Yeah, but you know, in all this discussion, let's not lose sight of what's coming up next weekend.
What?
Which is the United States round of the Motorcycle Grand Prix World Championship. The MotoGPs are racing along with Moto America, the American Series, at Circuit of the Americas in Austin.
Are you going?
Of course. And
of course.
It'll be... That's the only appearance of Valentino Rossi and Jorge Lorenzo and Maverick Viñales and all these incredibly gifted riders. You know, and I can't believe I didn't see Marc Marquez yet. I mean, and Marc Marquez is from some alien land where he's capable of doing things that people just can't do on a motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so here's one chance to see these guys in the United States this year, and that's this coming weekend.
So you're going to report back to me how it went?
Well,
you don't have to do it live. You don't have to do it that weekend, but you know.
When I get back, we'll talk about it. But it's one of the greatest series on the planet, MotoGP. I mean, Mario Andretti's even said MotoGP is the best racing on the planet.
I agree.
He's probably, as in most things, Mario's probably right.
Well, no, I mean, until somebody straddles one of those rocket ships. And Circuits of America, as technical as that track is, I cannot wait to see that.
It's a fabulous track, and Mark has just owned it ever since the Grand Prix started there. Right. He was a rookie, you know, in his second or third MotoGP when he got his first win, and it was there. And since then, he's won every year. We'll see if he can keep that streak going.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. Yeah, that's... Now, do you go to Isle of Man?
Sometimes.
Yeah, I've never been. You need to take me.
The Isle of Man TT is one, you know, it's if you've ever looked wistfully back at racing in the past and said, I should have gone to the Targa Florio or something like that. Well, there's a few Irish street races as well, and there's a couple in New Zealand, but nothing like the Isle of Man.
That's insane.
The Isle of Man TT is really something to experience, and
it's a bucket list thing.
Absolutely, and if you can't do that, and you can get over there sometime in August, then go to the Ulster Grand Prix outside of Belfast at the old Dundrod Circuit. She used to run cars until they thought it was too dangerous to run cars after about 1956. And since then, it's just been motorcycle racing. And the crazy thing about about Dundrod and the Ulster Grand Prix is the bikes aren't set off in 10-second intervals. They're pack racing.
Really?
They start them from a standing start on a grid on this public road, these little two-lane public roads that wind around the Irish Northern Irish countryside, and it is a jaw-dropper.
Hmm. Doesn't get much coverage.
No, it doesn't. And you would think with all of the razzmatazz that's forever going on about the Isle of Man TT that someone would tap somebody on the shoulder and say, have you been to the Ulster? Mm. I was talking to Dario Franchitti once, and his greatest heroes are the guys that race the TT. Mm-hmm. And I was saying, yeah, I was at the Ulster in 2005, and he just looked at me and he goes, the Ulster. Oh, my God, the Ulster. So, I mean, the people that are in the know, I mean, that is every bit as much of a jaw-dropper as the Isle of Man TT. It's just a shorter course. It's maybe 6 or 7 miles instead of 37 and a half and
yeah.
up the mountain.
Yeah.
So that just means you get to see the bikes more.
Yeah, yeah, they just go around more and more and more. No, that's definitely good. And what was the name of that again?
The Ulster Grand Prix.
All right, I'm going to look that. I'm going to Google that.
It's in the hills, just I think if memory serves, just south of Belfast.
Okay, all right.
It's a by all means amount to see.
Yeah, definitely a bucket list thing. Sounds to me like,
without a doubt, if you love motorcycle racing and you're into the spectacle of motorcycle racing on the streets, mm-hmm. Isle of Man or Ulster, and every year they will go in and they'll improve some section of paving because you know parts of the Isle of Man, it's almost like one of the racers that does there out of San Francisco, Wade Boyd, one time, he described it to me as 160-mile-an-hour motocross. Because the roads are so bumpy and dodgy around the backside of the circuit, like maybe in the run to Ramsey and stuff. And, they pave a little bit of it there, and the speeds go up a little bit, and then they pave a little bit of the Ulster. And they're both over 130-mile-an-hour average speed by the top guys' fastest laps.
Is that crazy or is that crazy?
And when you factor in that the Ulster is pack racing and not against the clock,
mm-hmm.
It's just got to be something to see.
I think you're absolutely right. All right, buddy, I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your Easter. I'm glad I caught you in country. So you're going to go to the Circuits of America next week, and maybe the week after that, if you're still in town or wherever you're at, we'll definitely hook up. So thank you very, very much for taking time out of your Sunday with the family. Tell Frank it's my fault. He'll understand.
I will do that.
Okay. All right, buddy.
Bye.
All right, folks, we're going to take a small break. When we come back, hopefully we got Jake Swanson on the line. He's the man all the way from Paris Auto Speedway. He owns a company called Shock Technology. We'll find out some more about that as well. And he had a pretty wild night last night, so stay tuned right here on Racer Radio.
AM 1170, The Answer.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome back. This is Racer Radio right here on AM 1170. We are The Answer. This segment is brought to you by the good folks at Paris Auto Speedway. If you've not been to Paris Auto Speedway, that needs to be on your bucket list. Go to Paris Auto Speedway, check the schedule out, find a race that would be good for you, and get yourself up there. 18700 Lake Paris Road right there at the fairgrounds. Real easy to get to. Just go to parisautospeedway.com for tickets, schedules. And maybe if you want to go racing, they even have the rules and regulations on how you, too, can become a racer. Right now, we got Jake Swanson on the line. Jake, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. How are you?
Not doing bad at all. So where'd you race last night?
We ran in Bakersfield. First time we've been back there since 2005. And actually, I've never been there with a sprint car.
Really? And how did the experience go?
You know, I've run a lot of laps around there with the midget, and it's amazing how much smaller the place gets when you get inside a bigger car.
Yeah, the faster it goes, the smaller the circle.
Oh, yeah, that's it. But Yeah, it was really neat. You know, the racetrack was pretty racy, really. At first, it was kind of single file and hard to pass. But, you know, before the feature there, they had modified some stuff out there, too. And they kind of sealed it over and packed it in to the point to where it widened out, you know, all the way to the fence and, made for some good racing, some good passing.
So this was your first time there in quite a few years, it sounds like. So how'd the night shake out for you?
Well, you know, it started off pretty decent. You know, we qualified okay. Kind of messed up the second lap, but it was still a good enough first lap to give us six quick. And that was going to put us on the pole, you know, as long as we transferred through the heat race. Luckily, we got by, we did what we needed to do in the heat race in order to transfer. And started on the pole of feature and was thinking that we're going to have a hot rod. It was just a matter of, getting out front and getting a good start. But unfortunately, ended up being a pretty rough start. We didn't really come to the line very evenly. Normally the pole sitter shut the pace, but it was kind of a shaky start, and we kind of got knocked around a little bit, and ended up stuck in the turn three wall after a bad one and two. We ended up in the fence because of a flat tire over in three. So after that, you know, I got the fence pretty good, so I was worried it knocked the front end out of it, the rear end or something, because I kind of pancaked it, but nothing was bent except for, you know, flat tire. My guys were able to change that quick and got me back out there, restarted, I think 22nd or so. And, just was trying to find ways around guys. That's what we did. We ended up driving back up to fourth and running fourth.
Wow. That must have been a fun ride.
You know, I was just telling my team today when we were washing the car, it's fun in hindsight. You know, it's not fun when you're driving through all those guys and you're pissed off because you feel like you kind of got gypped on the start and you have to do it, you know. But it's after it's all said and done, you know, it's like, man, that was kind of fun throwing all those sliders and you know, dicing through all those guys. It was pretty neat, you know. It makes it more fun when you got a good race car. I mean, we just have really this year we've had really good cars everywhere we go, and that's a big part of it too. You know, it makes it fun to drive when it's easy to drive and you know when it's comfy and that's exactly how it was.
Well, wouldn't you say that has a lot to do with the communication you have with your crew chief?
Yeah, it does. You know, and since I graduated school, I graduated from Cal State Northridge in December. I've been able to kind of spend some more time at the shop, and Tom and I, it's been really good. You know, we put those three cars together, and had a little bit of help from my dad and a couple other people, here and there as we did it, but it was good, you know, just being able to spend all that time and build those race cars, because not only are we touching every piece on the car, but you know, it's kind of bonding for, you know, me and the crew chief. So when it comes to race day, you know, I can say something and he knows that I don't mean to offend him, and you know, and he knows what I'm trying to tell him and what I need, you know, out of the race car, you know, and it just makes for a better relationship and a better race day.
Not because you own a shock company, but wouldn't you say that's a little bit of an edge over your competition? The fact that you do run and own a shock company, and because to me, dirt and racing shock absorbers are almost key.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, that's exactly how I felt. That's what I've learned. You know, back when I was running my own little midget, me and my dad had our little operation. We kind of struggled, and I was just felt like, you know, maybe I'm just not that good of a race car driver. You know, I just, we didn't really run that good. And you know, sometimes we just DNF, and it was frustrating, you know. And when I finally figured out that it was the shocks, it was the shock package, I sold everything in my room, you know, my Xbox and PlayStation and all kinds of stuff in order to get a good set of shocks from Advanced. And, bought the nicest stuff they had, the small body gas, you know, monotube stuff. And, it sure paid off. It was like driving a completely different race car. So, yeah, I totally agree. You know, I think that these cars, for the most part, they're pretty simple. They're pretty basic. Torsion bars are torsion bars, you know. Mm-hmm. They got, I mean, obviously every chassis manufacturer does something a little bit different. But the ability to get that little bit extra is definitely on the shocks. And having the knowledge to know what to do, you know, in that split instant, not even just before the race, before the 30 lap feature, but in the race car with your shock adjusters, it definitely gives you an edge. And that's why I wanted to do it. You know, I really felt that, it was something that, number one, I could help other people with, and number two, I could have just that little bit over the competition, you know, in order to beat them when it counts.
Well, there's not a whole lot of other variables within your race car that has as much flexibility as a shock absorber.
Correct. Yeah. And there's quite a bit you can do. You know, it's funny talking to people. It's not always just a 3-inch number. You know, there's a whole field of other numbers in there that, that you gotta account for, and you could have the same 3-inch number, two different shocks, but one's got a bunch more high speed in it and it's going to feel completely different. It's going to react completely different.
But unless you understand a shock absorber, you know, you're lost. Me personally wouldn't have a clue. Would not have a clue. And I don't even know what I could tell you as my crew chief. I mean, hopefully you're smarter than I am, that if I say, well, it does this going into the turn, that you'll know you got to do this to, say, the left rear shock or the right. You know, that's, shocks have always intrigued me because, you know, the engines are so regulated. I think, wouldn't you say the shock is probably, I mean, I know they regulate shocks. I know you can't go totally bananas on a shock absorber. They have their ram, but I think you have more. I can't think of anything else on the car that you could adjust more to get the biggest bang for your buck other than a shock.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially the fact that you can adjust it in the race car. I mean,
I didn't know you could do that.
That you can't. Yeah, yeah. If you got a shock on there that, you know, you just kind of bolt it on, you're not, yeah, you can set up for it, but you may be good at one particular point in the race. You maybe just 5 of the 30 laps, but if you're able to tune from start to finish, you're able to tie the fronts down for, you know, just to kind of keep the nose on the ground with that heavy fuel load. And as the fuel load burns off, as the cushion develops, there's things that you can do to all four corners that it really gives you an edge over the next guy, especially if he doesn't quite know how to adjust them or doesn't have the ability to adjust them.
Right. Or like me, you just get in it and drive it till the race is over. I'm not touching no knobs. I am not touching no buttons. I'm hammering this thing until I either crash or I finish. That's my problem.
And, you know, for a lot of people, that mentality works. Yeah. But for me, no, and it's true. I mean, there's guys out there that are just, they're like that, and they can make the thing work from you know, one end to the other. And they're going to win races that way. Yeah. But I'm a little bit more of what I'd consider myself as a finesse driver. I like to kind of run up to the edge and try not to go over it, you know, because I know that me and Tom are going to be in the shop fixing the thing.
Right.
So, you know, that's always been my style just from growing up. I mean, when I was running my own midget with my dad, it was the same type of thing. If I wadded the thing up, we weren't going racing for a couple months. You know, I was done and I wanted to keep racing. So I just made sure that I gave it my all. I did everything I could to go fast. But I tried to stay within the confinements, you know, that I had.
And somebody else already has a reputation as a demon.
Yeah, yeah. He's out there.
Yeah, so you don't have to fool with that one. Let him just take care of it. And, you know, because when I made that statement, he was the first person I thought of. I'm sure he knows how to do the shock adjustments inside the car. But he just comes across to me as somebody that could care less. He's going to put his foot right through the front radiator, and he's going to end up someplace at the end.
You know, to be honest with you, what I've learned watching Damien is he definitely drives hard.
Boy.
But I wouldn't say he's so far on the edge that, you know, he kills race cars all the time. At this point, he's got to the point in his career where he's got so much experience on us.
Yeah.
That that's what gives him the edge. And he's also good with the shocks. Don't get me wrong. The guy, he's smart. He's been around a long time, you know. But the whole thing is, if I can develop quick, if I can figure it out, if he can do it, I can do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So if I can figure out my end, I'll be able to get him. You know, it's just a matter of time. And all the experience in the world only helps you so much. So, I mean, I got a lot of respect for him as a driver.
Absolutely.
But, you know, hopefully we can start beating him, especially at Parrish. You know, it seems like he's kind of got us all, and he's just toying with us. But nothing lasts forever.
Yeah, but see, this is why I can bag on him, because he's supposed to have called in like 3 times and stood me up all 3 times. So I can make fun of him. I can tell. In fact, I went to Parrish one night. I drove all the way from Alpine, walked up to him and said, "What, you don't love me no more?" He was so embarrassed. He gave me a shirt.
No. At least he gave me a shirt.
He gave me a shirt. Didn't even make me buy it this time. I've been so impressed. Now he's, you know, and that's what I love about Parrish Auto Speedway. And that's why I do what I do, because, you know, it reminds me of the racetrack back in my hometown when I was a kid. It reminds me of Cajon Speedway, which is no longer there. You know, and there's just something about Parrish and the way that, you know, the way Don runs it and Scott calls the races. I mean, it's just, I don't have to convince you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be going.
Yeah, that's for sure.
All right. Well, before I throw you off air, who are your sponsors? Because we want to make sure we make them happy.
Well, you know, before I thank them, I just want to say a couple words about, you know, the shock deal. You know, I wouldn't have been able to do it without a few key people. And a big thing for me was graduating college. You know, I had to get through school.
Yep.
And that was 3 years of my life up in Northridge while I was trying to work in Anaheim. And that commute was just, you know, it wasn't going to happen during the daytime going through LA. So I ended up, I was talking to Sean and Stephanie Buckley at a race. It was a Focus race, actually, a little Ford Focus race. And I kind of told them my situation, and I didn't really know what I was going to do, you know. And they're like, "Well, you know, we got a spare room, and you know, we'll let you stay whenever you need."
Wow.
And just really, really incredible people, very nice people. And they brought me in for nothing. They just, you know, gave me a room, and I'd split my week up. I'd stay half the week up there and then drive down to Anaheim and then stay, you know, at my parents' house.
Wow.
So I could work Thursdays and Fridays. But it was right about that time that, you know, I was trying to get something going with shocks. And I ended up partnering with a guy, Wes Evans, another really, really great dude. He's actually a parts distributor for a lot of different companies, you know, ALS, Weld. And he, you know, he sells, Spike chassis and does a lot of things, you know, for a lot of different companies, but he's a West Coast dealer. So he and I talked and he kind of brought me in and, you know, we ended up striking up a deal where, he was going to get a dyno and get all the equipment and stuff. And I was going to build the stuff, you know? And so that was what I did on my only day off that I had up there, which was Tuesday. Tuesday, I'd come in and work, you know, as much as I could. You know, basically doing customer shocks. So it'd be like a 12-hour day some days. Some days we're a little bit quicker, but most days, you know, we're long days. But I owe a lot to him because it taught me a lot. You know, I was able to learn the stuff, you know, kind of build a reputation as somebody who knew how to build the stuff and knew what they were doing with it.
Excellent.
You know, unfortunately, I don't live up there anymore. You know, I just graduated, so I moved back down to Anaheim, and right. I got a good job down here. And it was just one of those deals where it's like we kind of it was very mutual. You know, I couldn't make that drive. You know, I couldn't drive up there to build shocks. You know, for a weekend. Most weekends I don't have off. So you know, we just thought it best to you know, he could keep his deal going, and then I'd, you know, start my own deal down here.
Cool.
But you know, still. So, those two people in the world, that's for sure. They got me through school and kind of got me up and going. So,
excellent.
You know, and then as far as the race car stuff goes, you know, I'm very, very blessed.
Hey, Jake. Sounds like I'm losing you, and I got to take a break. I want to thank you for taking time out of your day to call me, and happy Easter to you, and good luck at your next race. When is it?
Next race will be hopefully this weekend here in Tulare.
Woo-wee. All right, well, we want to hear back, see how you did. All right, folks, we're going to take a small break. This is Racer Radio right here on KCBQ AM 1170. We are the answer.
AM 1170, the answer.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome back. KCBQ AM 1170. We are the answer. This segment is brought to you by Certified Car Care out in lovely Santee, 11370 Woodside Avenue. Go to certifiedcarcare.net. Certifiedcarcare.net. Make an appointment for a dyno pull. Just tell them you heard it right here on Racer Radio for a very substantial discount. Everybody knows if you're going to go racing, you got to have a baseline. Hey, we got Dirt Dude on the line. How you doing, everybody? Did you finish up your Easter egg hunt?
Yeah, it's the way to wind down the day. I guess you're saving the best for last.
Huh? Absolutely. I wasn't going to let you slide. Well, I didn't know if you were going to call in or not, and I had Norm. He was in town, so I just thought I'd pick his open wheel brain for a while. And so what's kicking?
Yeah, I was going good, and then I was listening, and then they're like, you asked me to add another 15 minutes. I'm like, okay, I'm getting bumped. I know. I'll go towards the back, but I didn't have much going on anyways. It's just a Easter Sunday. It's quiet. There's like nothing really racing. Had a few friends that went up to Rattlesnake Canyon Raceway, and it's out in Fallon, Nevada.
Fallon?
All the way up there.
Fallon?
Not the Fallon.
Fallon? That's up by Reno.
Yes. They went all the way up there to run last night. I guess he came in second, so it was worth the drive.
Not unless it paid $10,000.
I don't know what it paid. That was Steve Wurstel. He runs at our track, and he took his friend Chris Fritsch, and they just threw the car on the trailer. Nothing big, like no big hauler or anything like that.
Just said, what the hey, let's see what we can do.
Yeah, they went up there. They've never been there before, and they heard it's a fast track and a lot of fast cars. So he gets up there, and he posts, and he goes, I think I brought a knife to a gunfight because I guess everyone up there is really fast and badass. And he was like, I don't know about this. So then he got second last night. And I'm like, wow, that fight must have been pretty good with a knife to a gun.
Oh, he'll be bragging about it. Have no fear. I think this is traditional that most racetracks don't race on, Easter weekend.
Yeah. I mean, Paris during the day yesterday had the SoCal
Carters
Association there, and the Norco Lawnmower Association. So I saw some video that Scott Delosio was posting some video that was pretty good.
Yeah, I seen the little lawnmower guys.
Yeah, they ran at our track before on the kids track, so it was pretty fun watching those guys go. They have some souped up lawnmowers, man.
I know. It's crazy. They're all slammed and big fat tires. Now they came to KUSI. They were doing it at the Ramona Fairgrounds. I mean, a Ramona Fair every year. So they would come to KUSI and they'd bring their hopped up tractors. Randy Waitman come in.
They're doing staggered like a sprint car. They got one big one and one small one. Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you got coming up?
We're just gearing up for next race, which will be the 22nd. So next Saturday will be our first figure eight race of the season. Figure eight's the open comp and the stock figure eights. And then along with our normal oval racing, which is going to have modified dwarf cars, street stocks, pure stocks, and then the two figure eight races. So gotcha. It should be pretty good. All ponies too. Will be there.
Oh, okay. Well, that'll work out just fine. All right. That sounds
be a great night.
Yeah, sounds like it. We are getting a little bit of is a chill still out there on Saturday nights?
It was last race, but I think we might be warming up here a little bit. I haven't heard anything about rain or anything like that, so everything's looking pretty good. It should be starting to warm up and be nice at night.
Yeah, we got a lot of rain, but we didn't get a lot of cold nights because, I mean, you've had some cold nights out there.
Last Saturday night was pretty cold. The last time we raced was a little chilly. I mean, you can feel it. And it was a little damp, had a little moisture in the air. but it was a good night. The racing was really good.
Yeah.
Are you guys going to show up?
On the 22nd?
Yep.
I think so. I think I don't think I've got anything else planned, so I should be able to pull that off. I'm really looking forward to doing it. I don't know about her because she's still trying to find a room. So I think she did find – actually, I think she did find something in Poway.
That's not bad. Yeah. This is right down the road.
Yeah, just right down the road. Just a hop, skip, and a jump. Of course, I don't know which would the easiest way to go. Go up 67 – you know, I mean, go up Scripps to the 67 and go all the way to 78 and come in the back way, or go down the hill to the 8 and – yeah, I don't know what's the easiest way to go. I'm going to
imagine. Depends on where the hotel is when she checks in. If she's checking in before the race, I would say then, yeah, take that Scripps Poway Parkway up to the 67 and then back that way. But if not, yeah, come in through Escondido by the Wild Animal Park or the Zoo Safari Park, and then go up that way in Ramona by the San Diego States.
She probably ought to get a place. She ought to break. Probably ought to get a place in Escondido in that case.
Yeah. I was thinking right off El Norte would have been a good one. There's a couple out there. But I'm not a travel agent. I only play one on TV.
Say what?
But I'm not a travel agent. I only play one on TV.
You do it well, too, I might add. So, we're how many races are we in so far?
This coming up will be the third race out of 16. So
anybody running away with any divisions yet?
No, it's been actually pretty good. It's been a lot of good racing. I don't think we've had one repeat racer, you know, main event winner. There's a couple guys that are doing well in points. Mm-hmm. And I think if they just keep it up, like Matt Hicks hasn't won a main event yet in a modified. But at least he's second in points, but he's ran second in every race. Mm-hmm. Out of the two races, he's finished second in both races. So I think he'll get a main event win pretty soon. Plus, he's just amazing to watch. He ran a dwarf carter track for a while, and then he's also been last year's track champion for Lucas Oil Modified. So he's ran modifieds on asphalt.
Oh, interesting.
He's coming back to dirt on modified.
Yeah, so he's going to try that out and see how it works out, huh?
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, we'll just have to wait and see. Other than that, I can't think of anything else. I think we're right almost at the very tippity top of the hour.
I'll have a report for you next Saturday on how we did.
Next Sunday.
Next Sunday, yeah, from our Saturday race.
Yeah. And then what we'll have to do is get everybody to go take a look at BaronaSpeedway.com. You can also go to YouTube and see all the races.
And everyone's on Facebook, the drivers, myself, the track, everything's on Facebook. You can keep up with the drivers. That's how I knew about Steve Wurstel going out of town.
Right.
Following all the pictures and videos on Facebook. So,
all right, buddy.
All of our drivers and friends.
All right. Well, go have fun. Go see if you can find the rest of those Easter eggs because they're out there somewhere.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Thanks, all right. Say hi to Brittany for me since she doesn't call in anymore. I don't know what's up with that girl. All right, buddy.
I'll have to get it going on you.
All right, take care. All right, folks. Hey, Gun Sports Radio coming up next. We have Gabby Franco. She's going to be calling in, an Olympian and a firearms instructor and an NRA news commentator. Can't wait to hear her call in and chat. We've also got Michael Schwartz. We got Hollywood Joe in the house. And we've got, of course, the King, Lance Elke, right here on KCBQ AM 1170. Stay tuned.
Who cares about the clouds when we're together?
Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.
Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer is sponsored by Love Radio Network.